Welcome to The Leading Tone, your source for anything classical or jazz. Just Alex today to discuss Antonin Dvorak and some of his greatest works. Dvorak has become the most famous and perhaps the most programmed of the Czech composers. Born in 1841 to humble beginnings, Antonin Dvorak began his music education at age 6. From early on, he showed particular talent on the violin. He began performing in the local music scenes, including the church as well as some amateur village groups. This would end up having quite an influence on his composition career. Being a native of the Czech Republic, Dvorak applied a bohemian style to his pieces using rhythms and passages from bohemian music. This is referred to in academia as the study of ethnomusicology. In Dvorak's case, he could technically be labeled as one. You could draw some interesting connections between Dvorak and his Hungarian contemporaries, Béla Bartók and Zoltán Kodály. What you heard playing us in today was the second movement, Tempo de Valse, of Dvorak's Serenade for Strings in E major. Next, we'll hear some influence from his folk music background. Quite folksy, yes? That was the 8th of Dvorak's 16 Slavonic dances. While the term Slavic is quite broad geographically, Dvorak specifically refers to his Bohemian folk music roots in regards to this work. Bohemia is the largest and one of the most distinct regions of the Czech Republic. Over time, the unique flair of Bohemian music began to mix with that of the German and Austrian traditions of music. These Bohemian influences aren't the only inspirations, however, in Dvorak's music. The region of Bohemia at the time of Dvorak's childhood was beginning to require schools to teach German. This growing influence is reflected in the music. In 1857, Dvorak was first exposed to the music of Beethoven, Mendelssohn, Robert Schumann, and Richard Wagner. This was the beginning of his career in Prague. Dvorak continued to perform extensively on the violin, viola, and even received certification in organ. He served as the principal violinist under the great Czech composer Bedřich Smetana. Smetana is regarded as one of the first great nationalist composers of Bohemian music at the time. Dvorak would pick up this mantle and run with it in the coming years. Dvorak enters the composition scene in the late 1860s and begins to gain some traction throughout the 1870s. After some early experimentation, Dvorak begins to combine German tradition with Bohemian folk music, leading to sounds previously unheard of. This can be heard in particular with his Slavonic dances. Dvorak was inspired by German composer Johannes Brahms and his famous Hungarian dances. This would lead to the fittingly titled Slavonic Dances. What you just heard was the 16th and final Slavonic dance in A-flat major, originally written for piano duet. In fact, even the previously played 8th Slavonic dance was also originally written for piano. So be sure to check out the orchestral and the piano versions of these works as well. The accompaniment figures here are decidedly German, similar to that of Johannes Brahms, in fact. The difference in this example lies in the melody. The years of playing with the amateur bohemian groups lends itself to a unique melodic experience in these works. These tunes created in this music capture the character of Czech folk music. The peak of his bohemian style was in the eighth of his nine symphonies. While this symphony number 8 is almost always overshadowed by its younger sibling, the ninth symphony, From the New World, I wanted to take this episode to compare the two to show off the genius of Dvorak and his symphonic writing. Dvorak spent most of his summers composing in Vysoka, in the Bohemian region in the Czech Republic. In the summer of 1899, he began to compose his Eighth Symphony, shortly after completing his piano quartet in E-flat. He completed his sketch of the symphony right before the end of the summer, finally finishing the full score by November of that year. He only left Vysoka for an excursion to Berlin, in which he was attending performances of his 7th symphony in D minor. He returned shortly after to complete the 8th symphony. It is said that while he was writing this symphony, he took inspiration from the forests and nature surrounding his summer home. Now, without further ado, let's take a listen to the first movement of this monumental achievement in ethnomusicology, Antonín Dvořák's Symphony No. 8 in G major. The first movement of Antonín Dvořák's Symphony No. 8 in G major. One cannot deny the beauty and the elegance of this music. It is simply a treat to the ears, from the yearning opening melodic material to the delicate flute solo, and finally to this glorious arrival you've just heard. This first movement is in a sonata form. This form has been widely utilized since the classical period of music. It consists of three sections: the exposition, typically the first statement of a main theme, the development, which takes these ideas and creates new ones, and the recapitulation, which brings us back to the principal theme. While this is not a requirement for the sonata form, Dvorak utilizes quite the extensive coda section to cap off the sonata form. When I say extensive, I really mean extensive. It is quite long and brings back a lot of the previous themes from this movement. The exposition is in G minor. The development is in both the keys of E flat major and A major. And the recapitulation is in G minor, and then later turns into G major. Interestingly, the movement does not completely adhere to your standard sonata form in terms of melodic ideas. There are a total of 5 melodic themes in this movement, and 3 of them occur in the exposition, 2 in the development, as well as some returns of the original 3 from the exposition, and the recapitulation featuring 2 original new themes. There is not usually an overlap of these themes, with a lot of full orchestral unisons on themes, with a little counterpoint in one of the themes within the development. The melodic contrast is pretty stark, though, ranging from fast and boisterous to solemn, almost like a funeral march at times. Dvorak treats each of these sections like they are their own piece, allowing time for each melodic idea to develop. However, not all of them are given equal time to develop, especially the themes introduced in the actual development of the piece. These are viewed more as traditional material rather than full independent melodic lines, but they're still given a good amount of time to develop in comparison to the secondary themes in other works such as those as Johannes Brahms, as to which Dvorak's early work are often compared to. This is where my love for this symphony and Dvorak in general comes from, as well as the combination of the German and Bohemian folk styles. These things working together create a masterful soundscape in Romantic period music. Perhaps this section of the movement is maybe a little too restrained for you. Maybe you yearn for something a little closer to his much more famous Ninth Symphony? Take a quick listen to this section of the first movement, and I think you'll find its flavor to be in complete contrast to the initial material of this work. Let's take a listen. Different feel entirely, all within the same movement. Notice the restatement and the variation on the original theme from the opening as well. A completely different style, but still the same thematic material. Now, I would be remiss if I were to continue to mention Dvorak's most famous work without sharing a clip of that as well. Dvorak's Ninth Symphony, From the New World, actually shares a good bit of similarities with its older counterpart, the Eighth Symphony. Now, compare that with the opening of the Eighth Symphony. Both works, notably, have a very similar feel to begin with. They both also share the concept of sonata form. However, the real significance here is that they both are based on folk music. The difference is while he drew upon his home country for the Eighth Symphony, From the New World, the Ninth Symphony takes inspiration from that of the United States of America. Thank you. From the first movement of this Ninth Symphony, it takes much less time for the American-based work to get bold, as opposed to the more restrained Eighth Symphony in the beginning. Famously, Dvorak spent the years of 1892 to 1895 in the United States. He was the director of the National Conservatory of Music, based in New York City. His purpose, besides work, was to discover the folk music of America in the way he treated the folk music of his own home. This led him to the inspiration from African American and Native American cultures. He used these to become the basis of this work. This is the second movement of his famous Ninth Symphony, From the New World. The Largo movement takes inspiration from African American and Native American influences to create something entirely unique and entirely beautiful. Now, compare this to the more bohemian Eighth Symphony. You'll find these two, at least at the beginning, have very similar feels. This is not to diminish the uniqueness of American versus Bohemian folk music, rather the opposite. It just shows off Dvorak's signature style. His treatment and orchestration leads to these very different melodies to sound like they could belong equally in the Czech or American concert halls. This leads to just a wider audience learning more about folk music, and to me, that's beautiful. This second movement of the Eighth Symphony, when compared to that of the Ninth, shows off the versatility of Dvorak and his composition. The third movement of the Ninth Symphony is a fast-paced scherzo. The form of a scherzo is categorized by a light or playful style. Orchestral music lovers tend to focus a lot on the other movements of Dvorak's Ninth Symphony, From the New World. This movement does not receive near the attention the others do. The theme of this movement is inspired by a song, written by an American poet, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, and the song is titled The Song of Hiawatha. To contrast, once again, the Eighth Symphony has a similar feel in its third movement, a bit more of a waltz than a scherzo, however. for fans of the Leading Tone podcast, you might recognize this Bohemian style waltz as the outro music we used throughout the first season of the show. The melancholy conveyed in this excerpt creates a feeling of longing and perhaps parting ways. Now, for perhaps one of the most iconic movements from the Ninth Symphony, From the New World, let's take a listen to the finale from that work. Less palpable to modern listeners, these sounds would become popular in American film music, including that of the famous John Williams. The modern equivalent of this opening motif is used in Williams' Jaws. The bold theme first used in the horns and trumpets is also almost film-like, but this was long before the popularity of film in the United States. While this music might give off feelings of conflict, perhaps throughout the history of the United States, the Czech Bohemian finale of Dvořák's 8th Symphony has an entirely different feel, maybe almost like a celebration. Saying in reference to this finale, "In Bohemia, the trumpets never call to battle. They always call to dance." With this quote, I picture the trumpets being the call to the festivities, and there being a long crescendo and build-up until all the town joins in all of the merriment. This is an incredibly stark contrast to the finale of the New World Symphony, his 9th symphony. Similar approaches in adapting folk sounds, but with completely different, but equally great, results. I've looked forward to contrasting these two symphonies for our audiences for a long time. The Eighth Symphony was actually the very first work I ever performed with an orchestra, and the Ninth is actually one of the last major symphonies both Fernando and I performed before the pandemic. Yet, in the American orchestral music scene, the Eighth Symphony does not receive nearly as much attention, despite the similarities between the two. I hope you all leave today with a new appreciation for not only the New World Symphony, but the underappreciated Eighth Symphony. Finally, to recap the works we've listened to today, we heard the beautiful second movement of Dvorak's Serenade for Strings. The Eighth Dance from his orchestral Slavonic Dances. The delicate piano duet version of the 16th Slavonic Dance. The ever-popular Ninth Symphony from the New World. Underrated, but equally great, Symphony No. 8. All by the incomparable Czech romantic Antonín Dvořák. This has been another episode of The Leading Tone. I'm Alex, and join us next Wednesday for more things classical and jazz.
Thanks for listening to The Leading Tone Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on social media.
You can find us on Instagram at The Leading Tone Podcast, as well as Facebook.
For any other questions or inquiries, please feel free to email us at theleadingtonepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening.